Welcome to the Purpose Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Visser, and this season is based on my book, Thriving, the Breakthrough Movement to Regenerate Nature, Society, and the Economy. Let's get to it. Disconnection, the ones technology left behind. I grew up on the cusp between the industrial and information ages. My high school class was the first to be allowed pocket calculators during maths exams, and when I went to university, email was still brand new. It was 2 years after I graduated that the World Wide Web was made public. By then, mobile phones were taking off too, and the rest, as they say, is history. More than 145 years have passed since Alexander Graham Bell spoke his famous words into the telephone, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want you." Since then, the world has grown more connected than Bell could ever have imagined. The information revolution really has changed the world, and for the most part, it is for the better. The benefits of digital connectivity are rather obvious. Computers, mobile phones, and the internet provide access to knowledge, market data, and economic opportunities. But for all its wonders, technology has never been equally distributed. This is why the so-called digital divide is such a concern as a force of fragmentation and breakdown. It acts as an amplifier of inequalities. Still, you may be wondering if there really is a problem. Surely the whole world is connected by now. Today, around 2 billion people still do not have internet access, while a rich minority of the world's population charges ahead with the latest advances from the digital revolution. This is the meaning of disconnection. It's about the gap between those who have access to technology and those who don't. And at the other end of the spectrum, it is about technology replacing humans. Despite all our progress in getting the world online, there is still a big gap between developed, developing, and least developed countries, which the Digital Economy Report of the UN Conference on Trade and Development makes clear. In 2018, for the first time, more than half the world's population got online, but only 1 out of 5 people in the least developed countries have internet access, compared with 4 out of 5 for developed countries. Affordable internet access exists in only 40% of low and middle income countries, leaving 2.3 billion people unable to enjoy 1G mobile broadband plans, let alone the dream of 5G. And remember, while these populations try to catch up, others are already rapidly adopting technologies such as artificial intelligence and virtual reality, and so the gap grows. There is also a gender digital divide. In 2/3 of all countries, the proportion of women using the internet is lower than men. And as with many products and services, there is also a poverty premium, where the poor pay more. According to the Alliance for Affordable Internet's Affordability Drivers Index for 61 countries, 7 out of the lowest scoring 10 countries are low-income countries, and 7 are African countries. Across Africa, the average cost for 1G of data is 7% of the average monthly salary, and in some countries, it is as much as 20%. While low-income countries are struggling to catch up with access to basic information and communications technology infrastructure, they are rapidly falling behind the next wave, which will be enabled by 5G wireless technology, processing around 1,000 times what today's systems are capable of. The United States and China are emerging as digital giants that may dwarf our current divide. For example, together, they account for 75% of patents for blockchain, which is a secure way of digitally recording transactions, and 50% of global spending on connected devices, the so-called Internet of Things, also 75% of the world market for public cloud computing, and 90% of the market capitalization value of the world's 70 largest digital platforms. Besides gaps in access to technology, there is also the problem of human replacement by machines, which began with the original Industrial Revolution and will now spread wider and cut deeper in economies around the world. Analysis by the Brookings Institute for the United States, covering trends from 1980 to 2030, concludes that 25% of jobs face a high risk of being automated in the coming decades, while an additional 36% face a medium risk. Disconnection is therefore also about our ambiguous relationship with technology. It's about admitting that every breakthrough in technology has its dark side. Thomas Midgley invented leaded fuel and chlorofluorocarbons, which brought improvements in fuel efficiency and refrigeration, but ended up causing lead poisoning and the ozone hole. Biofuels offer a source of low-carbon energy, but can compete for land with agriculture. Renewables and batteries promise an end to climate warming fossil fuels, but can be linked to minerals that exacerbate conflict and violence. Social media gives us a voice, but is used to spread fake news and undermine democracy. That doesn't mean we should reject these technologies, but we must remain vigilant about unintended consequences and work hard to address them. Disruption. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Disruption is a fact of life, but some shocks are bigger than others and they affect everyone differently. Those that made a big impression on me in some way include the first Gulf War, 9/11, the 2008 financial crisis, and of course the COVID-19 pandemic. My work has also made me aware of numerous disasters, from industrial accidents like the Exxon Valdez and Deepwater Horizon oil spills, to corporate scandals like Enron, Lehman Brothers, Teflon, and Volkswagen's Dieselgate. Often disruption is a local affair, such as when I went on a world lecture tour in 2010 and was left stranded in Mexico following the unexpected bankruptcy of the national airline Mexicana. But some crises have also acquired global status, while others may start in one place and ripple through our interconnected world to make themselves felt near and far. When it comes to global crises, sadly, we are spoiled for choice. We've all lived through the catastrophic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which infected around 192 million people and caused more than 4 million deaths by the middle of 2021. By comparison, the 1918 Spanish flu infected 500 million people and killed 50 million. The 2002 to 2004 SARS outbreak infected around 8,100 people in China and Hong Kong, with 774 fatalities. And the 2012 to 2015 Ebola outbreak in West Africa killed around 11,300 people. Besides pandemics, natural disasters wreak havoc with our lives. In 2020, wildfires, storms, floods, and earthquakes claimed some 8,200 lives, with global losses of $210 billion, of which only $82 billion, or 60%, was insured. In 2020, California recorded a total of 9,600 wildfires in the state, with 10,500 structures damaged or destroyed. And in Oregon, about 4,000 homes were damaged or destroyed by wildfires. In the previous year, Australia's wildfires burned 18 million hectares, destroying more than 5,900 buildings, including 2,800 plus homes. 1 billion animals, not including many more bats and insects, were estimated to have died during the fire, and afterwards as a result of lost habitat and food sources. Disruption is one of the six forces of fragmentation or breakdown in society because it undermines the integrity of our global socio-economic and ecological system. These shocks to the system, in the form of not only natural disasters and health pandemics, but also political conflicts, market crises, and industrial accidents, threaten the stability of our institutions and the overall functioning of our societies. The good news is that, compared with major catastrophes of the past, fewer people are dying from disruption. In fact, in the past 100 years, the number of deaths from natural disasters has more than halved. But crises can still turn our lives upside down. The 2008 to 2012 global financial crisis showed us how market failure can be hugely disruptive. According to Better Markets, the United States alone lost more than $24 trillion in economic value, while 42 million people were pushed into poverty and more than 30 million people into unemployment. The COVID-related global recession of 2020 to 2021 has in many ways been worse. Similarly, for industrial accidents, the disruption can be catastrophic. The 2010 Deepwater Horizon explosion and related oil spill caused BP to lose 50% of its market value in 50 days and has to date cost the company $65 billion. Unfortunately, disruptions like climate change will get worse before they get better. One industry that knows this all too well is the insurance industry, and it seems that rising climate risks, such as more frequent and intense storms, floods, droughts, and fires, are becoming uninsurable. What does that mean? It means that if insurance companies try to cover all these risks for businesses, citizens, or cities, they would go bankrupt. This is the reality we face. And yet, despite being in the middle of a climate emergency, almost no one is panicking. Why? Well, this is human nature. I remember being at the gym when a fire alarm went off. No one panicked. No one even moved. Each individual assessed the situation. Can I see fire? Smell smoke? See others taking action? No. Am I being told to leave? No. Is it inconvenient? Yes. Eventually we were evacuated and it turned out to be a false alarm. It's the same with climate change. Many still hope it's a false alarm. It isn't. But until we personally see or feel the danger, we tend not to panic or change our behavior. Well, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join me again next time when the story of Thriving continues. Just a reminder that if you don't yet have your copy of Thriving, you can get it at any retailer as an ebook, an audiobook, or a hardback. You may also be interested in the Thriving podcast, where I speak with various thinkers and practitioners of thriving and regeneration. You can find that by searching on your favorite podcast platform for Thriving the Breakthrough Movement. And finally, you might be interested in becoming a Thriving Facilitator. If that sounds interesting to you, then do reach out and I can send you more information, or you can find it on my website, waynevisser.com. That's it for now, and we'll see you again next time. Hope you have a wonderful week.